Hey guys, this is Eddie McClintock. I play Special Agent Pete Latimer on Warehouse 13. At least I did before they canceled us. Shh. And you guys are listening to Paul, Ian, and Matt on the McSauce podcast. Check it out. What's up?
Welcome to episode 340 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty, and with me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Hey, what's up?
It is Monday night, September 21st, and tonight we are going to jump into the action. We're going to talk the brand new WandaVision trailer, and then we're going to talk Disney Infinity. Oh, wait a second. I mean DC Infinite.
DC Universe Infinite. Plus.
Maybe poorly named DC comic service, but that's for later. After we do, Matt, what do we do right now?
Housekeeping.
With who?
Ian.
That's right, buddy.
Sharpley.
Ian Sharpley.
Not just any Ian. Ian Sharpley.
It could have been Ian Holm.
It could have been. Isn't he a sexy vampire or something like that?
Ian Holm? He's Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, who am I thinking of? There's a Ian on the Vampire Diaries.
Ian Summerhalder.
Summerhalder. I can see how you get the two confused.
There are only so many Ians out here.
I fucking hate Ian Eagle. I feel like he throws the name Ian into complete disarray. I have never thought I-A-N should be pronounced any other way than Ian.
That's correct.
But Ian Eagle... fucking just mass chaos.
What if it was Ian Eagle? That just sounds too weird. I think he realized he couldn't put them together.
Ian Eagle, I mean, great
Ian Eagle,
great Ian Louis Eagle? Gossett Jr. movie.
Ian Eagle definitely is a Spider-Man villain who big time Eagle fan. I thought he was
the Muppet stepbrother.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, McSauce.com, go to the website, check out everything that we're doing. Find us on social media. Hit us up there. Sometimes the things that you say to us on social media materialize and become full blown out episodes. One of our followers and friends, Ryan, who also has his own podcast, he is on Twitter as @newexguy. We'll definitely link him in the bio.
Is he no longer a guy?
He's a new guy.
He's a new guy. But he responded to last week's highly rated numbers episode to the bit and mentioned something about Microsoft buying Bethesda. And that is going to be the topic of our Patreon episode tonight.
Yeah, I saw his comment and I was like, oh, that just happened today.
Mm-hmm. You were on the cutting.
What kismet?
The bleeding edge. So. Yeah. If you respond, if you talk to us on social media, maybe the things that you say will become Patreon episodes or even regular show episodes. If you'd like to hear the exclusive episode where Matt and myself will talk about the acquisition of Bethesda by Microsoft and what that means for the greater video game landscape, go to patreon.com, type in MCSOSS, lay down your hard-earned $5, and you can get that episode for yourself. And also on the Patreon, big shout out to Dan Greenwald of the Comic Book Pit. Thank you for becoming a patron. Hit us up with whatever the episode that you would like us to record. We do sort of choose your own adventures episodes. So whenever you become a new patron, we'll send you a survey and you can hit us up with what you would like your episode to be. And one more plug for me, the Case in Point podcast, friends of the show. I was on their podcast last week, so the most recent episode is up on anywhere that you normally go and find your podcast episodes.
It's always fun listening to you when you're not being
shackled by goons.
Aggressive.
Being what?
Purposefully aggressive. When you don't have the
agenda, you're accidentally aggressive.
To come after anybody. It's kind of refreshing to just hear Ian be nice.
Is that it? Do you think that I am purposefully...
That hasn't been my experience for 340 episodes.
Is that Ian's fault, or does he just not suffer certain
Fools.
Individuals
Matt, I appreciate
lightly.
You softly laying yourself on the train tracks, but I think you do a great job, regardless of Ian's aggression toward you sometimes.
So if you guys want to hear the softer side of Ian Sharpley, check out Case in Point Podcast, anywhere that you find your podcasts, episode 56, The Scent of a Magazine.
Oh, I like that.
I'm pretty sure I named that episode, so check it out.
Do those guys name their stuff the way we name ours? Just kind of pull something from the episode?
Yeah, Evil Seed is an episode. I Have Tendencies, Fresh Pile.
Oh, it's...
Red Roof Inn.
Sounds like it could just be mixed sauce. We might want to contact our lawyers on this one, guys.
These guys have been, in this case, Justin Case, has been a longtime friend of the podcast. It was cool to jump.
So that's where he got it from.
We've inspired each other.
Paul, call the McLawyers.
They're already on the way.
I love the McLawyers. I love the idea of the McLawyers.
It's fucking Ronald McDonald and the Hamburglar.
All right, house is kept. Let's roll.
So when was it? Yesterday, the WandaVision trailer came out.
This morning.
Or
is that right?
This morning?
No, it was
yesterday.
Not today.
No. Okay.
So we watched the WandaVision trailer. WandaVision, for those of you that are uninitiated, is going to be the Disney Plus show featuring Wanda Maximoff in the Vision from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
When is that show coming out?
I don't think it gave a release date. I think
December
it's like
2020.
Soon.
No real hard and fast release date.
So this year, December. Paul.
Yeah.
That's this year. This crazy year.
And
do you think we'll make society in general will make it to December 2020? I have my doubts.
It's going to be tight.
It's a close. We made it. To Wanda. Congratulations. Here's WandaVision.
You made it to right. Surprise.
Here's your reward.
Two
underachieving Marvel Cinematic Universe characters that you get to watch for 8 episodes.
Remember your least favorite stars of those big blockbuster movies. Here's 12 episodes.
And Trump's still president.
Congratulations. You made it through the worst year in recorded history.
If your city hasn't been burned to the ground or taken over by the government, and you still have internet and water, here you go, WandaVision.
So I may have to eat some crow over this WandaVision series. I mean, maybe not. We haven't seen it yet. It may stink and leave me disinterested. But these first two trailers look really cool. They look really bonkers. They look really weird.
Was there another trailer?
There was an early teaser. It was a while ago.
It wasn't dissimilar to this one.
Okay.
It kind of walked you through the like sitcom timeline. You saw all the different costumes, but like this one has a little like darker tone to it.
You get more of what the gist of the show is in this, because I think the other trailer wasn't a mashup of all the different Disney Plus shows, or was it something like that? Because I remember just seeing like little bits of WandaVision in that trailer.
I thought it was its own like teaser trailer, but most of it was just walking through the, like, you got the glimpse of her and all the different like sitcom like costumes and outfits. So this looks pretty neat. It looks really weird. It looks like it may be in the vein of Doom Patrol, and it looks pretty neat. And maybe that's the way these characters are going to resonate for me, because I really didn't care about Wanda or Vision in the MCU movies. Whenever they were on screen, I was like, oh, just go back to the interesting characters. Let's like go show me the fun stuff. But this looks pretty weird and pretty neat, and I don't even care if it has bigger ties to MCU Phase 2. Phase 2? Phase 4? What fucking phase is coming up?
Phase 4 is coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't necessarily, like, what's going to get me to watch it isn't going to be, oh, you better watch because it's going to tie into Doctor Strange and it's going to tie into the multiverse. Like, that doesn't interest me so much as just what was presented did. Just the weirdness of, like, they're on TV and they're all these in these different, you know, decades of sitcoms, and they don't really seem to know why. And, like, Catherine Hahn may have, like, some kind of sinister purpose.
Yeah, because she seems like the only one that, you know, or at least in this
they're
trailer,
like decade
that
jumps
knows,
with them.
Yeah, and kind of knows what's going on. Yeah. She knows that Vision died. I agree that it doesn't need to have further reaching ambitions for me to be interested in this, but it does have further reaching ties to probably not this phase, but phases down the line. Because what's probably happening is that Wanda's created an alternate reality where Vision's still alive, or used her chaos magic in some way to distort reality. And that likely is going to, that those things in the comic books were linked to House of M and either taking away mutants or, in this case, maybe bringing mutants into this reality. So likely that's what they're going to do as a backdoor way to introduce some mutants or X-Men characters or something like that. Maybe not right away, but definitely along the line, that's what this is.
Silent nod for Matt of his approval.
Yeah, Matt agrees. Everything that I said was correct.
I'm sorry. I don't have a ton to add to that. I was sitting here trying to remember. Did Vision come back at the end of Infinity Endgame?
He did not.
He didn't, because he wasn't one of the 50% wiped out. He was actually murdered before that.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you can murder a robot.
You can murder his soul by destroying the Soul Stone.
Hmm. Was the Soul Stone destroyed?
I thought Thanos...
All the stones were destroyed. Technically destroyed, right? In one reality.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah, and then, well, he got it. Thanos got it. And then he destroyed the gauntlet after,
yes,
right?
That's correct. But then they had to jump into different parts of the time stream, creating a different reality. You know, standard time travel stuff. I know you dislike it immensely.
Maybe that's why I don't have a whole lot to add here.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a reality-bending sort of show with two characters that maybe you're not interested in.
It looked decent. It really did. I was really struggling to get a grip on what it's going to be about. So I think what you're saying, Ian, makes sense. I'm going to roll with that. It's fine. I think I will enjoy the overall kind of vibe of it. I think it looks creative and interesting and different, which is definitely welcome within the MCU as far as I'm concerned. So I just don't have a ton to add to it. I can give you a little polynomics if it's not too early for that.
Sure. It's never too early for numbers.
Paul, my excitement for this is probably about a 2.
Very low.
It's very low. Very low. And that's no disrespect to it. I just don't care. But I think it could be good. And once I see an episode, maybe that 2 will change into a 4. And then another episode, it could turn into a 6. By the end, who knows? Maybe it'll be a 10. I don't know.
Or in the case of when you were watching The Mandalorian, it'll all stay a 3.
No, I was into that. I was into The Mandalorian, just had a couple duds in the middle. But listen, WandaVision, expectation, I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm going to give it an 8. I think it's going to be, because I think the bar is so low, honestly, like, it really has nowhere to go but up. But I think they're going to hook it up, because this looked good, but I need to kind of get my head wrapped around what it is exactly outside of the aesthetics and the overall vibe to get excited, but it definitely feels like they might be onto something.
Yeah, I laughed when you said, you know, because the bar is so low, but, you know, that may be similar to the way I'm coming into the show, because I don't give a shit about these characters. And when they first, you know, announced the wave of MCU Disney Plus shows that are coming out, I was like, ugh, everyone I don't fucking care about. Like, I don't really give a shit about Falcon and Winter Soldier. I don't care about Wanda and Vision. But this looks, it looks neat. It looks like it has a really clever sense of humor to it. Alongside some of the silliness, it seems like it's going to have some darker aspects to it that are really going to propel it forward and, you know, really contrast some of the weird, you know, sitcom comedy.
Can I say something, too?
You sure can, buddy.
One of my concerns with serializing properties like MCU, Star Wars, and turning them into TV shows, basically, was they were going to suffer in quality. They were going to feel like lesser versions of their silver screen counterparts. And mostly that doesn't seem like it's the case. It just seems like it's different format. But this looked every bit as polished as a MCU movie, in my opinion. So that helps add to my overall feeling that this could be pretty good.
Yeah, I had the reaction whenever I saw some of the stuff. The first thing that I thought was, this looks way better than this property has any business being. WandaVision, to me, I'm like, I don't know. Even I was probably the most accepting of this out of the three of us, but even I was like, I don't really care about this. But these two trailers, the whole, you know, idea of it seems pretty cool, and it had no business looking cool or catching my eye or getting my attention, but it did, and it does look, and by the end of my first viewing, I was like, well, why wasn't this a movie? This looks pretty fucking rad. But they probably couldn't do the thematic things that they're going to do with this story in a big blockbuster movie. And honestly, that probably serves these characters better because I don't think these characters are really big blockbuster characters. They're not Iron Man. They're not Captain America. They're not Spider-Man. They don't deserve their own movie.
They're supporting characters.
But they sure as shit seem like they could tell a cool little maybe 8-episode and done series. And that would, you know, that would be really cool to do that. And it made me think more further down the line. Man, they could do more cool stuff like this with the big tentpole characters, even if they wanted to grab some more characters that aren't supporting and put them into one of these shows. I think that would be cool. A lot of options open up. My eyes really opened up with this. I thought, oh, there's a lot of pretty different things they could do with it.
Yeah, I like the weird costumes that we see aside from, you know, the decades of, you know, different sitcoms they're in. But she comes down the stairs wearing the traditional red suit with, you know, the kind of big, like, headpiece on it. And
it looks,
know, Vision's
like
in the street with what looks like his mother made him a Vision costume.
The Soul Stone's, like, crooked on his head, if
you
notice.
And, like,
because it seems like that is on Halloween.
Yes.
Because whenever Vision goes to talk to Catherine Hahn, she's dressed up as a witch.
Yeah.
So I'm, that's my guess.
And I think what really allows for this kind of creativity is that Vision and Wanda are clean slates. Like, I don't think at this point you could do something subversive with Thor in a TV format because he's become, you know, Waka Waka Thor. And I think that's Thor at this point. Like, I think it would feel really weird to have him.
Fozzy Thor?
Yes. I think it would feel really weird to have him in something that kind of pushes the boundaries of the character and, like, strays from what everybody really loves about Thor. And, like, maybe there's some, you know, some other bigger characters that you can't, that don't give you the room to play with. But these two, it's a clean slate. I don't know who the writers are of this, but, like, good luck, guys. Like, I hope this is awesome. This looks really neat.
Paul, do you want to give us some Paulonomics? I gave you a 2 and an 8, which might be the most extreme Paulonomics we've ever had.
It's times like this where I wish that we had a producer of the show so that we could go back, we could have history of all of our Paulinomics.
Let's just
breakdown.
Get one of the interns on it. Have them go back through
you
the
know
archives.
Maybe we should. I feel like we should pay somebody to do that. I don't know. Maybe somebody out there will do it. But when you guys were talking about how indifferent you were to this, especially you, Paul, I wish that we had all of the clips of all the time that you were like,
too.
Who could fucking give a shit about this shit? I don't fucking care. Like, just in a row.
I know. And like I said when we started this segment, you know, I may have to eat some crow about this because I know how hard I was on this. And I'm not giving it a free pass right now, but I think they really look like they're doing some different stuff. So my excitement is going to come in at a very reserved 5. Middle of the road. I'm just like, okay, I'm here to see what's happening. But my expectation is an 8.
And like that sounds familiar,
like,
Ian.
Yeah, it does. It looks like 58. It could be really, really neat. Mm-hmm. I almost want to give it a 9, but I'm not that bold. Not that bold.
Ian, how bold are you?
I got at least a 1-point swing out of my excitement. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. You must not understand. We don't do fractions on polynomics.
Yeah, I said 1-point swing.
That's
right?
A whole number.
So
Matt.
That's a whole number.
Oh, I heard point.
Matt, I don't know if you listened
he said
to last
one
week.
Point
one
swing.
Point. 1-point swing. And then you just went
to all of the words.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
He was like, I was just ready to. Remember how earlier in the show you were like, Ian, just ready to pounce and fucking tear some people. Yeah, Matt, come on. I said 1 point. One full point swing.
You didn't say full. It threw me off.
Oh, you assumed that. I assume a 0.5.
Well, maybe where Matt's getting confused is, you know, we've talked about like the 2-point trailer swing.
It at least got a 1-point trailer swing. So I am now at a 5.
One full point trailer.
A full
swing.
Point for those
went
who
from a 4 to a 5.
For those that scoring at home. So my excitement. I'm pretty excited. A 6. My expectation, I would say an 8.
The old Yarmir Yager.
I'll tell you this. See, this is not enough for me to subscribe to Disney Plus, but because of The Mandalorian being a thing while this comes out, probably. Oh, no, it won't be. Mandalorian will be over.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll see this.
Well, funny. It will take a little bit over a month for Mandalorian to be over.
It'll
is that correct?
It'll be what?
Because Mandalorian is
eight
at
weeks,
the...
8 weeks?
Okay, that's definitely... That
so,
goes
okay,
from
so
October 31st, right? Or 30th?
30th until December 30th.
Is that 8 weeks?
Something like that.
I don't think so. Either way, we don't do numbers on this show. It's going to roll into...
We did numbers for one episode.
Poorly.
I think we did them expertly.
I don't know. There's math teachers in the audience. Let us know if we did numbers right.
That takes us to December 18th.
Okay, so there's like... some overlap.
No, there isn't.
No, there isn't. If...
Wait.
If...
WandaVision
starts... December 21st.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
There might be some overlap.
It may be specifically set up so that you go from Mandalorian right into WandaVision. And
if they were smart, there would be like at least 2 weeks in there where you could catch your... On one day, you catch your Mando. On the next day, you catch your Wanda.
Since the end of The Mandalorian, I've been like, I'm not watching this. Like, I'm not watching Disney Plus. I had to just cancel. And I didn't. And like 2 weeks ago, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it later today. I'm just going to cancel this. And then the Mandalorian trailer came out and I was like, oh, fuck, that is in like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. I guess I better just sit on it. So here I am all set up for more Mando and more WandaVision. Well, new WandaVision, not more. We haven't had more a little bit. So why don't we jump into what I think is the poorly named DC Universe Infinite. I think it's too close to DC Infinity. I think it's too close to Infinity War.
What's DC Infinity?
It was those little video game characters that were so fucking cool looking.
I don't think there are DC ones, though. The Infinity.
Disney Infinity.
Yeah. Infinity.
Did I say DC Infinity?
You said DC.
Oh, yeah. I meant Disney Infinity.
Yeah.
I listened that time.
Well, I'm glad he's listening
there,
to
there
one
you
of
got.
Us.
You got the ding of approval from your Ice Cube.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ian, why don't you walk us through what Disney Universe Infinity is?
Oh my God, DC Universe Infinite.
Fuck. See, dumb. Just call it. Just rebrand DC Universe. Like, why do we need a new name? Just take what you have and repurpose it.
I agree. So what DC is doing is taking the former app DC Universe, which had it had TV shows, it had movies, and it had comic books. I don't know if it had, did it have games and stuff like that too, Matt? Or
no.
So it had those
shows, movies, comics, like even web-based shows. Mm-hmm. Today, DC Today or something like that.
News show or something
like
that?
Yeah, kind of, or character features. It was pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
So they're taking that app and they're just sort of rebranding it. So in January of 2021, if we are still alive.
I think we'll get to it.
If we make it there and we, you know, here's the first step of your trials. You get WandaVision. Yay, you get WandaVision. And then after that, if you make it into the new year.
If you make it through WandaVision, then you get
DC Universe Infinite. So they're rebranding it and they're converting it into a comic reader app specifically, and going to branch out and put the full library, or at least as full as it can possibly be, something to compete with Marvel Unlimited app, which if you're listening to this, then you definitely know that myself and Matt have that app, and that I've been railing for years for DC to do a similar app that would encompass their full library, or at least close to. Even Marvel Unlimited doesn't have everything that Marvel's offered, but it has enough where I'm not one, unless I'm looking for something specific, then I don't notice the lack of fullness in the library. And you can also, it updates about 6 months later, at least Marvel's is set up this way. So the new comic books that came out 6 months ago today would be refreshed, and I would have, it would be new comic book day on my app, and I would get those. So in theory, you could follow your comics if you weren't too hung up on being super duper up to date. If you didn't mind a 6 month lag, like some of us lapsed readers do, then you can keep up with all the new stuff that way as well. I'm super jazzed about this news. I'm a DC fan. I like DC. Are they my first pick? No. Are they the heroes that I like the best? No. But I do love a lot of things about DC. And as a young comic book reader, most of my dollars went to Marvel and Image. I didn't buy a lot of DC comics. So I really think about going back to those times whenever I was started collecting and reading books, the early 90s, late 80s, mid 90s, and picking up all the stuff that I saw on the rack that I interacted with some way. Maybe a friend of mine was a big DC comic book reader and wanted to talk to me about it, and I just didn't get it. I want to go back and read all of that stuff and really take in the history of comic books. So this seems like it's going to be the thing that I've been looking for years.
Yeah,
honestly.
You've been talking about wanting this exact application for years now, ever since your love affair with Marvel Unlimited started.
She's never let me down.
So I'm happy that you're finally going to get that. One of the questions that I have, and I maybe could have found this out had I read more, but I'm just going to ask, are they going to include things outside of DC superheroes? Are they going to include Vertigo? Are they going to include
like
Hill
Black
House
Label
Comics,
and
right,
stuff
Black
like
Label.
That? Looks like they're going to have some digital firsts. So things exclusive like the Wonder Woman 84 comic book that they were producing. is going to be included on there. I'm looking on here. I don't see anything that specifically says that they're going to include, let's see here. It does specifically say Black Label, but it doesn't say Vertigo or anything like that. Honestly, if they did include Vertigo, that would really push it over the limit for me.
Me too.
My excitement would go through the roof because I'm a big Vertigo person. Love that stuff.
I feel like I would read more of that than anything, honestly.
I find myself doing weird stuff with Marvel Unlimited. I jump into the New Universe stuff from the mid-80s whenever they tried to start up a completely new universe, and I don't really get all that deep into it, but since it was something that I have heard of, but I'm never going to spend actual money on buying these comics, I just wanted to read about it because some people talk about how it was groundbreaking and inventive and they really loved it, but financially it was a disaster. So it's stuff like that that I think I'd like to dive into. The Vertigo stuff, man, I'd probably eat all that stuff up if that is going to be included. So I guess we'll just have to wait a little bit, but even standard DC fare, I'd love to go back and read some of the classic stuff from the 1970s, whenever Batman came back to being sort of the Dark Knight detective. I'd love to read all that stuff. I'd really like to read some of the Kurt Swan Superman stuff. Really excited for this. So
what is the impetus for this move? Is it the fact that DC, or maybe I should say AT&T, wanted to take some successful shows or properties from DC Universe and move it over to their HBO streaming service,
first and foremost? Yeah, I think that's probably, you hit the nail on the head. It has less to do with this being about, you know, satisfying Ian Sharpley's desire and passion for a DC library app, in just moving shows to HBO Max so that the rest of the audience out there can watch cool shows just like Doom Patrol. I had the DC Universe app. I didn't watch Doom Patrol there, but whenever it was on HBO Max, I checked it out. I'm really happy I did. So they're probably looking for a similar effect with all the other
shows. HBO Max is hitting a wider audience, much like how Cobra Kai found a new lease on life now that it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're probably right. I still think it was pretty awesome that there was a DC fan app that was geared specifically for comic book fans. I really would have liked it if they would have added the Infinite comic book feature to the existing DC universe and kept it as is otherwise. But still, you can double up by having those shows also on HBO Max if you want to get more viewers. But I think this is a way to essentially split your audience and make people like me that might really want to get all that access to those DC comics, but still want to maybe watch the next Doom Patrol or something like that. I'm going to have to double dip now. I'm going to have to buy DC Universe Infinite plus HBO Max. I think it's cool that the DC Universe Infinite is going to exist.
And how much is that a month?
I don't know if they have said yet, but if it aligns with Marvel's pricing structure, which it probably will, I think that would be, is that $10 a month, Ian?
So it's going to be $7.99 monthly, or you can pay the annual fee of $74.99, and you get a little bit of savings with the annual, which is a little bit more than Marvel. Marvel is $10 a month, or you can, I think it's like $80
I paid
something.
$60.
Or you can pay something like that if you do the yearly, and if it's a certain sale or something like that.
Sale, yeah.
I forget if I got on that same sale or not. I probably was a sucker and paid more.
That's
I use it a whole lot though, man. Of all the apps that I have, that's one of the ones that I use the most.
Yeah, I'm also worried that with DC Universe going away, that we're going to lose access to streaming access to certain things like Batman the Animated Series or Superman the Animated Series, there's no guarantee that all that is going to migrate over to HBO Max. So I think that kind of sucks.
Or how long, with any of the streaming services, how long is it going to stay available? Because you get spoiled because you think, oh, well, that's always going to be on the streaming service. Well, it's not. They can pull it at any
time. That's any
time.
Any subscription-based thing. I feel like they rotate things in and out just to keep people interested, which I think sucks because I'm starting to get to the point where it's like, I'll just buy it. I'll just buy Batman the Animated Series and just have it. You're not going to like nickel and dime me for the rest of my life. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings on it, Ian. I hate what it's doing to a service that I otherwise thought was awesome, and I thought the price was very reasonable for what you got. And frankly, there was still a lot of comics available. It had grown in the year and a half or so since it came out, pretty significantly. I mean, it was still nowhere near Marvel Unlimited, but it was robust. I mean, there was many, many hours of reading.
Did you find yourself going in there and
a few things? Yeah, I did. The new Justice League Dark. That was one of the. That was the most recent thing that I read, and that was pretty good. I read the first volume of it. But yeah, I would kind of dabble. A lot of times I just kind of pull something up and skim it real quick.
Yeah.
I don't actually read it. But yeah, I used it a lot. I used it for Batman the Animated Series a lot. I used it for some of the DC animated movies. I just feel like all that shit just, probably most of it isn't going to go to HBO Max. That's what I anticipate. And I think that sucks.
I agree with that part of it. But I'm just...
I just don't understand. Why couldn't they have both?
Yeah.
Why couldn't DC Universe stay what it was and add the comics? If you want to charge more, okay, that's fair. You're getting a lot more. Do it.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't find a ton of value in it whenever I did have my trial run or whatever. It was cool, but it didn't keep my attention, maybe because I was going in with a specific idea of what I wanted out of the library, and it wasn't met.
You were like, I'm going to read all this stuff, and they were like, here's 7 books.
It wasn't that bad, but it was underwhelming to what my idea or my anticipation for what it should be was.
Yeah, so. I hate to be too pessimistic about it, but it really feels like this move was made to incentivize people to check out HBO Max more than anything.
That's not pessimistic at all. That is exactly what it is.
Well, right. And that makes me resentful, though, because I feel like I'm actually kind of getting screwed over by them forcing this upon us, because I do think the comic service is going to be cool, but if I had to pick what I have now versus just the comic service, I'm taking regular DC Universe, where you get some comics and all the other media. What?
But now it's infinite.
It is infinite,
but with much less things.
So what it really is
you?
Is
DC. More, how it's, dare you?
It's DC Universe Infinite Limited.
Yes. 100%
LTD. yeah, so I don't know. I feel like DC as a company over the last, maybe this year specifically, has just done a lot of weird shit that just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Their marketing strategy is, so this is the weirdest year ever, right? We'll just do weird stuff too.
Right. It feels like they're doing self-harmful things, like things that are not helping them. Like,
should we have reached out and said, do you need somebody to talk to? Do you need DC Universe Infinite Limited?
I'm legitimately curious. I wouldn't even say concerned, because I don't find myself that huge of a modern comics fan anymore. But I'm legitimately curious what DC's long-term comic book plans are. I feel like they don't really give a shit about that. They care about the properties. And when I say the properties, I probably mean Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. I just feel like they don't give a crap about comics, like modern comics.
I'm sure that the people in the people on the comic creation side, the editors, writers, artists, they would disagree heavily with that. Now, the AT&T overlords,
that's who
you're
I'm talking about.
Definitely right. Yeah, they don't care.
Which, that's a scary proposition. You know, like, I've been railing against Disney's ownership of things like Star Wars, to a lesser extent, Marvel. I feel like that's kind of untouched, but somehow I feel like Disney has muddied the purity of Star Wars since it got involved. And here I am thinking, like, geez, I really wish Disney owned DC the way that they own Marvel, because it could be worse than Disney when you have a company like AT&T that just has no creative spark. Like, they don't give a crap about that. All they care about is what is the bottom line, period.
Well, I mean, it's they're just Warner Brothers 2.0. You know, they're just,
I think that
know,
they're worse.
They're worse.
Like, so when you look at Warner Brothers or Disney, to Matt's point, those are companies that are based on and made their money on entertaining people and telling stories. Right. And AT&T, that's just not the case at all. So they don't know what to properly value. And I think it's pretty clear already with their ownership only being, what, a year or two or something like that?
It is a little concerning. Like, what is the long-term plan with this company? It feels like there's not a public strategy, that's for sure. They're just doing things that, to people like us and our dear listeners, don't make any sense. These things defy kind of like common sense and logic. Going to Midtown Comics, comic distributors, getting away from Diamond, allowing a comic book competitor distributor. I mean, when I say competitor, I mean to all the other retailers in the world, to handle your distribution. I've heard it's already somewhat disastrous. Poor customer service. Just like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Obviously, it's in an effort to try to save money, but it seems to be harming the customers, whether it's comic book retailers, comic book readers.
What I would say to the AT&T overlords and people at Disney or people at DC, they should go back and they should listen to our episode 335, Scratch and Sniff Panties, where we we give them some ideas on how we would run DC.
Don't let the name
do it with a straight face.
Don't let the name fool you. It's a very intelligent episode.
There's a lot of nuance, a lot of good business strategy. You just have to get past the name.
There's a lot more in that episode than there is in the Golden Earring album, Tits and Ass.
Which we were enjoying before this episode was recorded.
So even though, you know, some questionable DC comic decisions have been made, it seems like they may be going in the right track, because there's a very solid. I don't want to use the word rumor, but it hasn't been officially confirmed yet. But it looks like Henry Cavill is signing a new deal to be Superman in three Superman movies, plus cameos in other DC films. I guess Henry Cavill made a pitch to the AT&T overlords, and they were probably like, Superman who? Yeah, do whatever you want. So someone wrote up Henry Cavill a contract, and it looks like we may get some more Henry Cavill Superman, and maybe we might get some cool Superman stuff. What if they actually made a really good Superman.
A Superman that wore,
like, one that's actually
red and
really
blue.
Good. One that doesn't have, you know, one starring, you know, Kevin Hart in the third movie.
Well, they can't not do that. They can't help themselves but do that.
It would be nice if they put the red trunks on him, I think.
Yeah.
I do not think that the blue leotard has aged well.
I'd like to see a straight up, just, and we all know what Superman looks like. A just classic Kurt Swan looking 1960s fucking Superman with the gold S on the cape. Bright primary colors.
Yeah. I've said it for years. If you're one of those people that has a problem with the red trunks, Superman just isn't for you. Then don't bother. Don't read Superman. Well, don't see Superman movies. Like, you don't fucking get it. It's not for you.
And they could roll it into the marketing too. I mean, it's right there in the title. They could have the red trunks be scratch and stiff if they wanted to. I'm just saying. Who, if they wanted to?
Jim Lee is the one that got rid of the red trunks, right? And he tried to rationalize it by saying, well, you know, it's an old timey thing. Old muscle men used to wear those.
It breaks up the character.
Exactly. It's a simple design aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like,
design 101, Jim Lee. Come on. You should know better than this.
There's always been a push for get rid of the trunks. But it's always it always seems to come from people outside of comics that don't really get it.
Or Jim Lee, who's relatively invested in comics.
I think Jim Lee was towing the company line on that. I don't think Jim Lee sat down and was like,
company Carl,
fuck these trunks. I think someone was like, trunks. Jim, if you even allude that you want these fucking trunks, I'll kill your family, and we can do it. I think he was totally toeing the company line.
If you look real hard at the DC logo, it's actually a pair of trunks with the slash through it in the logo.
That's really a negative. You have to like very clear. It is very clever.
Yeah,
and Superman has made such a worldwide impact since 1938. Like the trunk. Who even thinks of fucking, you know, early 1900s muscle men when you see that costume anymore? You don't.
Right.
It's just Superman. That's just who he is. Like, you shouldn't
it
even be questioning.
Transcended any of the origin of where they came from. Whatever the reasoning was, whatever. Like, I don't give a shit why he wears a cape either. That's just what fucking superheroes wear.
Yeah. He just looks fucking awesome. It's a great fucking costume. And when you take off those red trunks, it's too much blue. The color balance is all off. What are you guys doing?
Bring that red slider up a little bit, will you?
You're fucking killing me. But man, I don't think we'll get red trunks back. I think we're far too past that. Homelander doesn't even have red trunks, and they lambaste superheroes weekly. But I think DC's too far past red trunks. I don't know if we're going to get those, but I'll settle for primary colors. I'll settle for a nice rich blue.
How about
a bright red? I don't want him wearing navy or slate gray or whatever he was in Man of Steel.
Sounds like an Apple new iPhone color.
That fucking tan that was supposed to be yellow in the S shield.
How about just a really long red belt? Will that work?
A really thick belt.
Yeah.
One that went from his, like,
his
navel waist
to his dick.
Down to his thighs. That's how they get away with it, the thick belt. It's not underwear, it's a belt. But it goes between his legs.
It's one of those fashion
belts. It's a Kryptonian belt, you moron.
But it looks like underpants. Right? I didn't decide what they were on Krypton.
Do you want to go to Krypton and tell Zod how to wear his underpants? I don't. So
when my brother went as Superman as a youngster for Halloween many, many, many years ago in the 80s, my mother had a nice bright yellow 80s belt for one of her outfits.
Nice.
That she lent to my brother to wear as he personified the Man of Steel for Halloween. Looked good. It was a good look.
That costume looks good. One of the weird, like, tiny details that I always liked about it is that he just had, like, sleeves that ended at his wrist. Like, there's no cuff. There's no gauntlet.
No,
it's
triangle
just like,
point.
Yeah, there's no... It was just sleeves. And, like, that's all he fucking needed. He's fucking Superman. He doesn't need all this extra bullshit. He doesn't need fucking cuffs. Armor, like that new 52 design that
the collar, the priest collar.
Did the that cover? The collar.
Those are all Jim Lee designs, dude. All of them. Yeah, and they were clearly all Jim Lee designs.
Not good.
Because they're all identical. Were there any good ones?
I thought Green Lanterns was okay. It was pretty similar. I thought the, you know, being that all of the Green Lanterns have like a uniform, the collar sort of made sense to me.
They left Aquaman alone.
Had a collar.
Did he have a collar?
With a collar.
Yeah, with a collar.
They made Wonder Woman silver.
Yeah, gold. I didn't hate the Wonder Woman. I don't know. This weekend I was organizing my comic books, and I must not have done that in the past, I don't know, 8 years or something like that. I collected a whole lot. I think I have that whole run of New 52 Wonder Woman. Just digging into the comic books.
Oh, it's very good.
It's really good.
Azzarello and...
Cliff Chang, yeah, from Paper Girls.
Yeah, that was very awesome. Good. Not if I was going to write a Wonder Woman, I wouldn't, you know, base it so hard in, you know, mythology.
I like that, though. That was some of my favorite stuff about it, was that it was grounded in that kind
I liked it, and stuff. I think that take on it is very cool, but, like, I also like the more, like, regular superhero secret identity take. There was a run that, I forget who wrote it, but Terry Dodson, the Dodsons, I think, did the art on it. Mm-hmm. And, like, she was working, she was Diana Prince working for the DEA, or DEO, in Washington. And she has Secret Identity. She was Wonder Woman. I forget what year that came out, but I thought it was a cool, like, at the time, like, modern take on, like, who she is, like, as a traditional superhero.
Yeah.
Boy, it would be nice to reread that digitally on the old DC Universe Infinite app.
Yeah, that's probably...
You can jump in there. You can probably sort it. I'd like all New 52, please. And then it'll sort it for you, and you can go and read it.
I don't give a shit what anybody says. New 52 was the second most exciting time for me reading comics ever in the history of reading comics.
Going through these unbagged, unboarded comics from that era... 2011 through probably whenever I gave up on comics around 2017 or something like that. I have so many New 52 comic books. So, like, the whole run of Animal Man, the whole run of Swamp Thing, Wonder Woman. I had crazy stuff that I didn't think that I would buy. Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, Batman, Superman, and the Superman Wonder Woman book was drawn by, I forget his name, but he drew...
Jim Shooter.
No, not Jim Shooter.
Wait, what book was it?
Is it Tony McNeary? No, Tony Daniel. Tony Daniel drew the fucking prettiest Wonder Woman on some of these covers. It was just the time capsule that I went through, and it was all the New 52, and that was, I agree with you, Matt, that was a legitimately... exciting time period to be a comic book fan. Myself and friend of the show Dom Yossi at midnight went up to check out some of the stuff.
There's been nothing like it since.
Yeah, I mean, there were, I think, I don't know if we were on mic or not, but I was talking about the TV commercials that DC runs. Nobody, Marvel doesn't run TV commercials for their comic books, but DC still does that. To this day, they run commercials on Sci-Fi and NBC for their comic books, and they did a whole media blitz for the New 52, and it was exciting.
Yeah,
I missed that. I missed that excitement about comic books, and those comic books were all mostly legitimately good.
Yeah, like, if you go back and reread them, like, let's say on DC Universe Infinite, they're going to hold up. Like, go read Animal Man. Go read Swamp Thing. That stuff is going to be good.
And trust me, go read I, Vampire.
I'd like to give that another shot. I did not like it the first go. Who's the writer on it?
I think it was James Tynion IV.
Was he really?
I think.
He was the...
Andrea Sorrentino was the artist.
Okay. All right.
I think that's who it was.
Man, like, man, even that, even that was before I read it and wasn't super into it. I was so excited to check it out. I was excited to check out I, Frankenstein and other books, yeah. Like All-Star Western, like, because they were coming out with like crazy shit that wasn't automatically synonymous with DC Comics. Like, they had Westerns, cool. They had horror.
That's part of what was cool about it, is that they had this breadth of genre where, like, Marvel at the time was, it was all, like, Avengers tie, and everything was tied to the Avengers somehow. Yeah. The X-Men were in the Avengers. The Avengers were in the X-Men. Like, it was all, like, Avengers.
You got my Avengers in my X-Men.
But DC was like, oh, you want a horror book? Here you go. Like, you know, you want a sci-fi book?
Here's like a variety of horror. You can get Swamp Thing or Animal Man, that's horror. Or do you want to go even further down? Here's some new shit with iVampire. Yeah.
And I think DC has such a better roster of characters to pull from than Marvel does.
They have more diversity and positional flexibility with their characters.
Yeah, I think they can go. They can really do some cool stuff, and I think it was illustrated by that New 52 line, is all the different things they can do. And I wish AT&T would sit down and be like, is it AT&T and then under is Warner Brothers? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I wish they'd be like, you know, Warner Brothers, just go do, like, take all this stuff and just make stuff. Like, I think, like, make a good Jonah Hex movie. You know, do a fucking I, Frankenstein movie. Like, do some weird stuff. Really lean into that Justice League Dark idea. Like, there's cool fucking characters. Like, Detective Chimp. Come on. We all watch Pogo on Umbrella Academy, and we love him. Make me a Detective Chimp movie.
Yeah, there's no reason why DC can't do some similar stuff that we were just talking about Marvel, with branching out and putting some maybe B-list or C-list characters into a TV series, and some have even the doubters and the haters, be like, oh, that looks fucking rad.
I didn't watch Swamp Thing, but they did that, and apparently, from all accounts, that was really good. Maybe that can get resurrected with a move to HBO Max, considering it was well-received critically.
Doom Patrol is really good. I know a lot of the stills looked bad, but the show looks good.
Yeah.
You can see every dollar that they spent in that show. It is a quality show. It looks like a HBO show to me.
Imagine if they made Animal Man. Imagine if they made I, Vampire. Or, like you said, I, Frankenstein. That would be an awesome movie, I, Frankenstein.
Isn't there a movie called I, Frankenstein?
I think there is, with Thomas Jane.
Yeah, is it not connected?
No, it's not. It's not DC's Frankenstein. Because DC's Frankenstein is sort of like Hellboy.
I thought he was like Hellboy and the Punisher, right?
He's like part of Argus.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's like, I don't know his early origins, but like through like the post-New 52 stuff and the Batman and Robin run that Patrick Gleason did, he was like an agent of Argus,
because he was
had
in
like
that
a monster team,
yeah, because he was in Justice League Dark whenever they were tracking down that there was like some haunted flying mansion that travels through time or something like
House
that.
Of Mystery.
Does that sound right? Yeah, House of Mystery. Right.
Yeah, like they can do some cool stuff like that. I'm shocked like they haven't leaned into a Titans feature film yet. Like, with all the YA material out there, like, why aren't we doing Titans? Like, why aren't we putting like these, you know, young characters out there to
maybe
really
they feel like they can't
audience
even do it until they get their bread and butter figured out? You know what I mean? Like, maybe they feel like they need to get that shit kind of locked down first, and then they can branch out into some weird shit.
It's a shame. There's so much potential.
Maybe they're going to get there now that Cavill's coming back, and it sounds like they're going to do essentially a soft reboot of the DCU and kind of keep the good, get rid of the bad, put them both together, and you have.
Can't think of a good Facts of Life DC pun.
Me either.
The Bats of Life. That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Casale.
We'll see you next time.